Broadcasting from the storage facility outside the Sputnik Arcade Station, this is the Coin Rejects, episode 38. And we're back. I'm sitting around a very tiny card table with my fellow rejects.
I'm Jordan.
Brandon.
Ian.
And I'm Brian. And you can find us on the web at coinrejects.com. Instagram.com/coinrejects, Twitter.com/coinrejects, and you can voicemail us at
503-766-2263.
And I think we have a voicemail.
Yeah.
And it goes like this.
Hit it.
Boys. Oh, what do you think? It's DuPont over there? It's already starting to look like 3M. Wah. Boy, you've left me so long to my own devices, I've gone and bought an arcade. So instead of filling it with 20 Namco Noirs with Pandora's boxes, because I listen to your show, it'll actually have real games in it. So anyway, you guys need to pop a show up. All the kids are waiting. They're like, where's that guy with his voicemail and his jokes? Where's that guy with his one-liners? Where's that guy swearing? We're missing it. Let's see it. Come on. Anyways, yeah, we moved from the frickin' island, Sailor Sarah there found my childhood arcade. We picked it up. We're restoring it to the way it was, and we're going to open up on May 17th. I got a bunch of warlords. Let's do this. You guys are welcome to come on down. But first, put out a show.
Move it to the left, jerk it to the right.
All right. I guess he's no longer Island Pirate.
Manitoba Pirate?
Inland Pirate?
Inland Pirate, that's right. Well, good luck with the arcade. That's really cool. I'm sure all of us have thought one minute or another about how cool it would be to like open an arcade, and he's doing it, living the dream.
It's like when those noobs on Clavs are like, I bought an arcade, except for real.
But maybe that's what he did.
I saw pictures.
Yeah.
It's a real place.
Good luck.
Yeah, man.
Let us know when it's open.
Yeah.
We'll come up and check it out. What's next? We got another voicemail?
Yeah.
Hello, Rejects. How are you all? I have a couple issues, questions I'd like to pose to you and get your thoughts on. First, I'm curious to hear if you have any recommendations for maintenance of joysticks, leaf spring adjustments, and so forth, speaking particularly of the Wiko variety, classic red ball, sometimes orange, purple, what have you. But yes, kind of curious to hear your perception of valuable adjustments and what to do, what not to do, particularly pertaining to leaf spring contacts, etc. And then secondly, I have noticed in some of my perusing of the vintage games that there was a distinct shift in the space shooter games. And parenthetical comment here, granted, this is a bit more relevant to last week's space game discussion, but there we go. Seems that there was a long-running time in the pre-77 era where any and all spaceship representations seemed to be of the Starship Enterprise or Klingon variety. Occasionally, I think there might have been a Romulan variant, but yes, in any case, it seems like Star Trek, of course, was the source for spaceship design, and then somewhere after the advent of the War of the Stars, everything became X-Wings and TIE Fighters and whatnot. Looks like we've got, what, Space War and Orbit, some of the Star Trek ship-based, and then from there we launch into the Star Wars run, but I was curious to hear your thoughts on what I guess the date demarcation and separation of the Star Trek, Star Wars variants and the ships, and if you could come up with a list of other games that would feature either. Thank you. Keep up the good work, lads.
The last part was the best because you nailed that one.
Global rejects, I guess.
Yeah. Man, fucking, when did we stop getting prank calls on this line?
When did we start?
Hello, Coin Rejects. Is your refrigerator on?
Do you have Prince Charles in a can? Or what was it?
Prince Charles. That would be
wrong. Yeah.
What was the first part? What was the first part of the question?
Oh,
Wico joystick maintenance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adjusting leaves.
You could probably talk about that one.
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah. Last night, I actually rebuilt both the joysticks in my Robotron. So, that sounds nice. So, this is kind of top of mind for me. There's a few things you can do. Lots of times when you get Wico sticks that have been in there for quite a while, they'll have some good rust on them, so you can, what I did at least, is put them in a drill with some fine sandpaper and just go to town on the shaft, if you will, of the joystick and try to get most of that rust off.
Check them?
Yeah.
Chuck them in a drill.
Chuck them.
So you can do that. The other thing is to make sure that you have good grommets inside your joysticks. The ones in my Robotron were pretty broken. One was completely cracked through and would not center correctly, and was probably one of the reasons why it was so easy to play with, because it was so loose, if you know what I mean.
We know what you mean.
Easy to play with.
Hard to master.
So loose.
You loose grommet. Keep it loose. So yeah, you want to check on that. And the other thing that I ran into was the springs that hold the spacer.
It's actually called the actuator.
Actuator.
But yeah, there's that little spring that's like 1.5 coils. It's barely a spring. Yeah.
And both of those were busted in mine. So you want to look out for getting replacements of those if you can. Luckily, I had some sitting around. Yeah, and make sure that the contacts on the leaf switches are clean. Like, that's what my first troubleshooting thing I did was to get some sandpaper and just kind of scrub the surface of the leaf switches to make sure they're making good contact.
Did you cut your springs, man?
Did you lower your stick?
Yeah, cut coil.
I fucking cut all my strings.
Cut a coil. I lower that stick.
I lower the Wico sticks.
Yeah. So I think he's talking more about the adjustment of the leaves, which
they can
get bent.
That's an art.
And then, it is a bit of an art. And they get bent, and then it takes more of a throw to actually make a contact. The leaves are just two pieces of metal that get banged into each other to make the contact. Brian, you mentioned cleaning them to make sure that the corrosion isn't keeping you from getting a good contact. I always heard that sanding is maybe not a good idea because they have some kind of plating on them. And so when you sand them, you sand that plating off. And now you're setting yourself up for easier corrosion down the line.
It depends, because they did make some that are just a solid core of stuff, and you can actually drill those out and put new ones on.
Some of them will have like a little brass. Is it brass? Bronze? I don't know. Yeah. Some kind of little extra, little button for the contact.
They all have that.
Well, yeah. I've seen some cheap ones where it's just like a little
throw that shit away.
Yeah.
What I always heard is that you should take a business card. You want to get that in there and then move the stick in whatever direction to close the switch and then just rub it back and forth. And you'll see, when you do that, you'll see some sooty marks on it from whatever crap is getting cleaned off.
Just don't use a black business card.
Yeah.
But a white business card.
Use a metal one. Or
Just the right amount of abrasive to get the dirt off and not damage the plating if there is plating on there.
Just watch American Psycho and use any of the cards they mentioned in that movie.
And as far as bending the sticks, the leaf, there are tools that are made. They're basically like usually... imagine like a drill bit that didn't cut things. It was just like,
Terrible description.
I don't know. Imagine it's a shaft.
It's a rod with a slot cut in it.
Yes.
On the top.
And honestly, I've just like made them myself with a piece of like flat stock and just cut it.
Just use pliers.
Well, yeah, sometimes you can't get the pliers and they're very good, and you put more of a tweak on it.
I guess it depends. I guess so. If you do it in the game, I guess you'd probably...
So that's
benefit from that.
That's actually my advice, which is that when people see those leaf switch adjusting tools, they think you gotta like put it in one spot and crank it, and that is not correct. What you wanna do is get it over the metal of the leaf just so it has some tension on it, and then kind of wipe it across. You want to be putting just a curve into the metal. You don't want to be putting an angle. You want to be putting a little curve in there by sticking it in one spot and then wiping it across to the end. that you just bend it up or down a little bit. So this is a technique I think a lot of people are missing when they are adjusting their leaf switches.
Yeah, I see some that look like I don't know, they look like the hard track on pole position or something. They're like Suzuka. Yeah. They have so many bends in it. You know,
it's just like, or there's depressions, like they're physically smushing and scoring the metal, so it looks like they're you don't bend it.
But what, I don't know. I'm no.
Or you do bend it, I guess.
I'm no like super game player or whatever. But I think that just getting it like real close is usually pretty nice, because then it's like easy to actuate. You know, like close but not obviously stuck on.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I go for.
It depends a lot, because if they're too close, then you'll end up going that direction when you're hitting
and like, even
the other ones. Yeah.
Even. Yeah. Play the game. Take note of which direction is too hard or too easy to get, and then adjust accordingly. There's not a simple way, I guess.
And buttons versus joysticks too, right?
You want same thing with buttons. Some people want it at the end of the stroke. Some people want it at the beginning of the stroke. Some people want it halfway down. You know.
Yeah, a correct leaf switch adjustment should have a little bit of wiping action on that. The brass or whatever button that's in there, when it closes, it should close and bend a little bit. And then when it releases, it should go back. And if you look, those two pieces kind of rub together, and that serves it's a self-cleaning mechanism. It keeps anything that gets in there. It'll get some of it off, and it'll last longer.
You're talking about the little plastic spacers in them
I think some of the old game manuals actually go into this, too. I mean, it's so invaluable to just read the old manuals of games. It's great that we have, like, ARC out there where we can just, like, you know, download a PDF and read this stuff.
Actually, the best resource is probably Pinball, because there's very detailed, like, if you ever go into, like, rebuilding Flipper tutorials, they go in heavy detail with that tool, and course there's specifications too, though, like with those are different types of switches with the voltage and stuff, but they go into pretty good detail with the different ways to adjust the leaf switch,
like stick a feeler gauge in there when you're done type of thing.
I think for pinballs it's like an eighth of an inch.
I can see that using a feeler between them when you're you could totally make a science out of it.
I don't know if it's a feeler, but
pinballs, you know, something. Pinballs is a very different kind of setup, because a lot of times you'll have
voltage going through, right?
Well, you have, especially on the EMs, you've got, you know, serious voltage going through there, but you've also got a lot of different switch configurations, whereas most video game stuff is just normally open to contacts. A lot of pins, you'll have stacked switches, especially on like the flippers, where you have an end of stroke switch, and you'll have, you know, one that's open and then one that's closed. So there's a lot of different stuff if you're dealing with pins. Videos are much simpler.
Yeah, but I just meant from the technique of of adjusting, like they go into crazy detail on that, because it's more crucial. Like you want to have that precise gap, and with games it doesn't fucking matter. You can have it bent to shit and it'd still work.
I agree with you on that.
Just get micro switches.
fuck that shit. And I heard the business card thing too. Like, basically, business card, close the switch, pull it out, do it again until you stop seeing like black or whatever, or like, you know, $100 bill. It's got to be $100 because that's like the coolest one. Except if someone sees you doing that with $100, you're like, you're fucking awesome.
Yeah, don't use reproduction $100 bills. that shit will get you in trouble. I found out.
Fucking pulling Monopoly money out.
Damn, I needed this information last night.
Should have called.
I know.
Should have called the voicemail.
I should have called the voicemail. But I wouldn't have been answered until right now.
Well.
Until
I don't care.
Until a month later.
And then, other than that, what else? There's nothing else to adjust besides clean the shit out of them, clean the buttons. That's not really the leaf switches, though, but... Mm-hmm. Good button action. Yeah,
the tool is good to have, though. It's like round bar stock is what you call it. we're back to my bad descriptions again.
It's like the closest part I can.
It's a 1/8 inch encabulator,
turbo encabulator.
Go to your local machinist. I'm sure he'll know how to make you one. Just say you need a leaf switch adjuster.
Yeah, they are expensive.
They are a little bit.
Yeah. For a piece of metal that's bent and has two bits cut in it.
With $20 bills.
But you buy it once, you buy it for life.
No, you don't. I've lost like three of them at least.
I'm going to start selling ones that are spray painted hot pink or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Neon ones. But when EL illumination, and you just like plug it into your USB battery.
Yeah, exactly.
Pack.
Yeah. Glow stick. USB switch adjusting tools.
We just need to make Coin Reject branded.
Oh, yeah.
Laser. Patent pending. Don't even think about it. Laser.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I have a prototype right here. Two drill bit over there.
That's proof. What else do you say? Oh, about things looking like the War of the Stars?
Yes. No,
yeah, like So
Space Encounters, definitely TIE Fighters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty early game. That's like one of the last black and whites, but...
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Okay.
No. Yeah. So, I mean, Space App has the Klingon-style ships on it, and that came out in, like, 81, I think.
What about Star Trek, the Vector game?
That was also 81.
But it has
that was two movies into Star Wars?
Yeah, definitely.
Space Wars, was that 77?
77, yeah.
Space Invaders didn't have anything.
Yeah, but Space War is a copy of Space War.
Right, from the 60s before like there the 60s was a Star Wars to rip off.
Yeah, there was just a triangle.
Yeah. I don't really...
It's fucking, yeah.
Since I didn't really...
Cube.
Yeah.
The only other thing I could think of that's way past all this is Major Havoc. They did Battlestar Galactica ships for that.
That's a whole different thing.
I know, but that's, he said, talk about all the space shit.
All the space shit.
There's some more, there's like Starfire, which is totally looking like Star Wars. What's the one that's an Exidy game and it's a Cinematronics game? Part one is from
Tailgunner?
Yeah.
Is that, and then Tailgunner 2? Aren't those TIE Fighters coming at you?
Are they?
I've never played
them. No, I forgot. No, I'm thinking of the other one. Starhawk. Starhawk.
Yeah, Starhawk has some Star... Yeah,
TIE X-Wing. Fighter. Yeah. X-Wing things. Yeah, yeah. That totally was a ripoff of the War of the Stars.
Asteroids, it's not really... I mean, it's just a triangle.
Yeah, I guess maybe like the Gyrus one could be kind of like a... You started Battlestar Galactica, could be kind of like a Viper.
Yeah.
Viper-esque time pilot also.
I mean, I think movies just like formed our opinions on what you know, fighting spaceships look like. You know, so what do we have to go on? You
they
know?
All look super cool.
Omega Race.
You're not going to just like say, oh no, they should be like lumpy spheres, you know.
Yeah.
They should look like a chunk of Swiss cheese. No, it's not going to be like that.
What about Gorf? I got to say, the boss in Gorf is a very like Enterprise looking, right?
Yeah, totally.
And your guy looks like a
spaceship.
Penis. Fucking
rocket.
Pack of hot dogs with three left inside. And Galaxian and Galaga, they have the same kind of ship as that.
Yeah.
Triangles.
Lots of ships, lots of space.
I can't hear you talking to the mic.
Lots of triangles.
Yeah, Omega Race has kind of a triangle-ish going.
Yeah, triangle was a popular
guitar pick, space pick.
Early in the arcade. So we got an event coming up locally in Tacoma. We have the Northwest Pinball and Arcade Show at the end of May. It takes place May 31st, and I think that's through that weekend. Is that correct?
Sounds right.
Yep.
That's not like the holiday weekend, is it?
No,
that's later.
That's the weekend before that.
Okay. I think we usually go, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's fun. Matt has his black and white games there. That's why I usually go.
May 31st to June 2nd, Tacoma Convention Center.
There you go.
It's featuring over 400 pinball and arcade games.
Yeah, it's a big show.
It's a good show.
It's definitely, for the Pacific Northwest, it's the biggest coin-op show.
Bigger they than PRG?
Oh, yeah. Much bigger. Yeah. Well, it's...
Definitely bigger arcade-wise.
I mean, arcade-wise,
yeah. They have more coin-op games there, but I think PRGE has more floor space.
So it's more of a vendor... PRG is vendor-heavy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
PRGE pinball is console-specific.
It's all business. All business.
It just happens to have a retro arcade. Yep.
So everybody go to the Northwest Pinball and Arcade Show because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I don't think I'm making it this year, but I've been a few years and it's always a good time. I recommend it.
Lately, I've been going up one day, just like doing the first day, like Friday or whatever. Go up and come back. It's pretty good.
I appreciate that they have their repair area like front and center. You can really see it, and they're just like out there recapping chassis or, you know, doing whatever to keep the games up and running. And, you know, I love repair, and if you're going to own a game. I think you should know what's in it. And I just think it shows people, like, you know, this is part of collecting games too.
Yeah. Well, we did that, PRG, last mm-hmm. year.
I know.
We paired some shit.
Yeah, because we ripped it off from them.
We copied them.
They've been doing that for a long ass time. That's that was true. The first year we've done that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the first time I ever went was probably 10 years ago, and I remember seeing that. It's like, well, I liked it when it was in Seattle better. I probably say that every year.
I don't know. I like
that now that you're farther away.
I like Seattle better, but I do think the space that they're in is a lot better than what they had going on in Seattle.
Yeah, that's true. It was a little fractured in Seattle. It was multiple spaces. It was all spaces. Over the place, yeah. Kind of just connected. This is a better space. Okay, yay Tacoma.
No, Tacoma sucks, but the space is
good. And it's slightly closer to us than Seattle.
It is a little closer to
that's
us.
That's true.
Where's that? Is it in
Tacoma?
The
convention center downtown.
The big place.
Never been there.
Up from the Mexican food joint.
There's a good vegan restaurant down the street.
Yeah, that was good. We'll
we checked that out last time I was up there.
I'll totally go back there.
There is a lot of good stuff around there. Not too many stabbings. Most of the stabbings are up the hill from where that is.
That's where the vegan restaurant is, up there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Stabbings and vegan food. That's it.
Got to get your blood somehow.
So, shall we move on to the game of the episode?
Yeah.
What was it?
Well, I guess we'll wait for scores. But game of the episode tonight was Robotron 2084. I guess technically it's Robotron 2084.
And how did we pick games? How are we picking them now?
We decided to put some incentive behind it. So now the winner of each game of the episode gets to pick the next game. So now, you know, it makes you want to play harder. I didn't tell you that, did I?
Didn't I win last time?
This is the first time we're doing it.
Okay. Actually, I won.
Brandon won. Yeah,
Brandon won last time.
That's why he gets to pick that we're doing this. And Mike, you're like 3 feet away from the mic.
I'm not really saying much.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought I would, you know, give a little bit more incentive around just playing the games, and a lot of the times I think just adding a little bit of competition around it besides just the scoring, I think it's kind of cool. Add some strategy.
Fucking $20 gift card.
Yeah.
To the strip joint.
Get a fucking Lowe's gift card for you.
Flat screen TV.
No, yeah, that would not make me play harder. Piece of shit picked up off the curb and I will fucking rule every game.
All right. Yeah. Released in 1982 by Williams Electronics, but it's designed by the Vid Kids.
Williams Tektronics.
Williams Tektronics. Which is Eugene Jarvis and Larry DeMar.
Legends.
Yeah.
Point out the world.
I only usually ever keep track of Atari stuff, but I was reading that it was they had over 19,000 produced.
Which is pretty sweet. That's pretty decent good. Run.
Yeah. I mean, I think for a lot of people, that's a desert island game, you know.
It is for me.
Yeah, it's a really good game.
That's how you were playing it.
Like I was on Desert Island? Yeah. Like, I'm the only one here.
And it was inspired by a game called Chase, which is a text-based game on the Commodore PET and Berserk in the arcades.
Berserk, yeah, you can definitely see the Berserk influence in it.
It'd be interesting if you had Robotron in a maze.
Like, that'd be kind of cool. Berserk. Or just Berserk with two sticks.
Yeah, either one. Either
yeah, one. The two-stick setup is definitely a lot better than with Berserk.
Berserk's a lot slower, much slower game than... I mean, you're moving slower.
Yeah.
The action is definitely picks up in Berserk.
So, on the scores, I am unsurprisingly in last place on this game with 62,100. Jordan in third place with 73,325. Brandon in third place.
Third place?
Third place.
Second
place. Second place. Brandon, yeah, okay, I'm reading it the wrong
way. Brian gets first and second place.
Yeah, he does. Brandon in second place with 272,175, and Brian, top dog, with 854,575.
That's a really good game.
That's probably one of my best games I've ever played.
Yeah.
So you could have just had like 85,000 and you would have won.
No, because I got I got 200,000.
Oh, no, never mind.
Yeah.
No, I think the highest score on my machine before tonight was 750.
Yeah. I thought you broke a million.
I have broke a million, but then the scores reset, and I put battery-backed
NVRAM or whatever.
NVRAM to save the scores. And now it was, the best I did was 750. So now I got a better score.
Slack days.
Slack days.
Slack days.
And we got to watch it. It was exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely one of my... I think this is definitely my favorite game. I always have so much fun playing it, and it's always difficult. I mean, even if you're good at it, it's always just on the verge of kicking your ass, and you, it's like you can go down at any moment, but as long as you keep getting the extra men, and especially on some of those boards where they give you lots of humans to collect...
5, 10, 15.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can definitely get back in the game if you're like holding on by a string, which I think is a good mechanic on that game.
Yeah. I guess I think my favorite part of it is that I like how they dish out tons of extra guys too, and they take them away just as fast as you get them.
It's kind of a classic Williams thing, you know?
Yeah. And it keeps you thinking that you're on a roll and then takes them away, but then... You can like struggle on your last guy for over, you know, for like a couple waves and then gain them back. And the pacing's really good. That's like a really important thing, I think.
Yeah. And all the enemies are so different, starting with the grunts that just chase after you, get faster and faster. And then you move on to the, what is it? Spheroid that spawn the enforcers, I think.
Yeah.
That's their name. Yep. And they throw those sparks at you, which is, Brandon and I had watched the postmortem that Eugene Jarvis did on Robotron just recently, and he was talking about the velocity of the sparks that they throw out, that they travel whatever amount, whatever distance they travel, they get there at the same amount of time. So if you're really close to them, they move a lot slower, but if you're further from them, they go like super fast. So it's better to be closer to those guys, which is counterintuitive to the way you want to play, which you're always trying to run away from the enemies. So
and at the same time the other guys, like the grunts and the other dudes, are coming towards you, so it's like you're just heading into the action. It's awesome.
And then you have the Hulks, which can't be killed at all, but you can kind of fend them off a little bit with your lasers. Laser talk.
You can
fend them off with laser talk.
Your laser like kind of stops them moving a little bit, and they're huge too, and they get in your way, they get into your line of fire, so that's kind of a good... You know, that they're a bad, and even though they don't like shoot at you, they're still a terrible enemy because they keep you from killing the other enemies.
They'll kind of protect some of the other ones, especially the spheroids when you're trying to get those. Because if you can get those early in the level, you can really cut down on the amount of enemies that are going to be on each stage.
Yeah.
And lots of times they'll just gather in the corners because those spheroids always go to the corners usually. Mm-hmm. And if those Hulks all gather in the corner, you're like, God damn it, I can't get my shot.
And those guys are the only guys besides the brains that can kill. The family.
Mommy, daddy.
Come daddy.
Little mommy. Mikey.
The Hulks kill the family, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And the brains.
The brains reprogram them to progs.
Okay. And then the progs kill you. Yeah. Sucks.
But one of my favorite parts in the postmortem was where it's called Robotron, right? So like the enemies are robots because man created robots that, you know, take over basically. But... And then there's the brains that aren't even robots, so it's like...
They're brain robots.
They're like, wait a minute.
We need some conceptual consistency here. Yeah.
And, that's funny.
Yeah, the graphics on this game are really great for how simple they are. I think games that have the cycling color, whenever you have something that just kind of cycles through the colors, like sometimes...
palette rotation.
Yeah, at the beginning... Mm-hmm. And sometimes throughout the
level transitions and stuff.
Yep, the level transitions are super cool, and the sound is super cool. I don't know. I could just go on and on. This game is the best.
Yeah. He called it programmer art because it's not really good art. So that's what he said.
It does kind of look like the engineers designed everything, and no one did.
That's the thing. They didn't have... It was just them. That's fucking awesome.
I like it. It's definitely... Top 5, top 10 game for me, at least top 10.
Wow.
But really fun to play.
Yeah.
And I have played better games than tonight, that's for sure, but I know a thing or two.
Yeah.
I think my score is actually the most I've ever scored on it. I am not a Robotron fan, and I have not played it that much.
You were pretty close to 100,000.
I guess. It's 62?
Yeah.
Yeah, the...
You could have made it.
I think it's top 10 for me, too. Like, it's really high up there, and that's the only game, one of the only games I've owned twice.
Yeah.
And
Sticks felt nice. What grommets did you have in them?
Those new ones.
The new ones, yeah. The put those in mine. Yep. They're nice.
Because I just replaced them.
You just ripped a hole in one?
So last night as I was making sure the game was good to play, I noticed that some of when it was it wasn't firing correctly on some directions, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And so I didn't expect to like rebuild the entire both joysticks last night, but luckily I was missing one of the springs, and I happened to at Goodwill I happened to pick up a Wico 2600 joystick that has all the parts for those sticks in there, including the springs. So I was able to get it from there, and I also I was putting it back together and I was like, where the fuck did this e-clip go?
E-clip that always happens.
For the one joystick was gone. It's like, yeah. I popped it off and I didn't hear it like bing or ricochet off anything. And it was just gone. And my wife was like, what is this in the dog's bed? And
I was like, ate it and shit it out
like,
already.
That's what I need. Give it here.
Nice.
I was like, I couldn't believe that. I don't have no idea how it got. It's like 8 feet away from where I was working.
It's always nice to like pop those into a rag or something so they don't fly across the room.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Pop it in the rag.
Yeah. I've rebuilt a lot of those controllers too, and I used to just write on the carpet and many times popped it off right on the carpet, and I would spend like 30 minutes looking for it, then it was like right in front of me, just buried. Yeah. I mean, those things are a pain in the ass.
Make my kids do that now. They're like, they're fucking excited as shit to do that, and their little eyes work so much better than mine.
Metal detector.
Looks like this. Okay.
Get one of those little fucking rolling magnet things and roll it around your car.
So I'm the odd man out on this one because I just don't like Robotron. I'm sorry. It's a classic game. I think it's a good game, but I don't like it. I think it's too hard to shoot diagonally. I wish this game had the food fight controller. I think that would make it like actually good, but I don't like it.
What do you mean, two of them?
Well, just for shooting.
Just like the the analog.
Have a button to shoot.
No. You should just, because it's hard to hit the diagonals. It's very like you can shoot eight directions. I think you should be able to shoot any direction. I also find it very difficult to hit the diagonals when I'm playing it, and so it results in a frustrating game where I die a lot.
Well, you'll get used to it.
So full-on analog shooting, any direction, directions.
Correct.
Maybe, it doesn't have to be analog, though. It could just be a fucking 64-way, whatever.
49-way Sinistar.
Yeah, put 80, the Sinistar joystick on there.
800-way.
But if it was easier to hit the non-cardinal points, I think that would help a lot.
But a 49 ways is still just 8 ways, but 3 times, you know, like slow, medium, fast for every way.
I don't know, but that's just how it was designed, and it was 1982, and 6 months of development time.
What year was Food Fight?
Later.
I think it was 83.
Not that much later.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think fucking spinner on there.
Well, you know, shooting games like that.
There you go. Electron.
You never stop shooting, and there's a spinner.
You could have electron controls. You could have a spinner to aim and, trigger stick for moving. That would work. Space Dungeon.
Space Dungeon.
First one can recall that had the two joysticks. Everybody thinks it's Robotron, but Taito with Space Dungeon did it first, which is a cool game. And that is kind of Robotron in a maze.
Yeah.
Kind of is, yeah.
Yeah.
Robotron in a dungeon.
Yeah. If nobody's ever seen it, play it on MAME or something. It emulates just fine. You need two joysticks. Hot tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or else he won't shoot or he won't move.
It was on the ZooQ board.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I know Steve's got one at Grinker's.
Mm-hmm. I played that one.
It's a good game.
I didn't have a problem with the firing because, I played games like Smash TV much
which is before that. It's the remake of Robotron.
Mm-hmm. No, it's
not. Yeah, the sequel. It's the sequel.
It's the same game, but with better graphics.
But I mean, like, those games were around, like, when I... long after Robotron was gone, and I was already just used to that style. And I guess the only thing I don't like is you're just holding the controller. There's no like tactile sensation. You're just kind of rolling the controller around. And
I think it would suck if you had to move it back and forth.
I know. I just meant like It could just be fucking four buttons or something.
Fucking haptic feedback.
Like if you're playing
every time a shot happens.
I remember trying to play with four buttons when it was on the PlayStation Williams Classic.
Smash TV on SNES and stuff. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but it's just like playing Q-Bert with a fucking four-way joystick in the regular orientation, basically.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like it.
Like a lot of Williams games, I feel like I should like it more than I like it. Like, I feel like I should like Defender, but I kind of don't. I feel like I should like Robotron, but I really don't.
Yeah, Defender's a tough one because that's a super hard game.
I like Defender better than Robotron, though.
Whoa.
It's bullshit. Hey, it's made by the same guy, that's right.
Yeah.
They actually, I mean, and in
it's, one it's of the, a low bar.
Yeah.
I think one of the best tips I got, I think you gave it to me, Jordan, when I was playing in your arcade, and you said instead of firing straight, just firing in one direction to like kind of do the little strafe action.
Or like kind of a little half
circle,
so you get like
depending
maybe
on which way you're going.
Yeah,
fucking Hadouken that shit.
Yeah, because there's enemies all around, so you might as well just kind of arc it in that direction.
Yeah, so you just kind of like do it in the three angles that you're going towards, like front and then the two diagonals at the same time.
I believe that is called spray and pray.
Spray and pray.
Spray and pray.
Yeah.
I mean, there's,
yeah.
there's
spray,
a lot
pray,
of
and run away.
Yeah, there aren't any that you're not going to want to kill, so
yeah.
Do it. Since you can't kill the family.
It's kind of like the classic bullet hell moves where you just kind of, as you're moving, like efficiently, just kind of shooting off, you know, shit. So
because if you just shoot in one direction, you're going to kill all the enemies in that direction pretty quick. So you might as well try to get some others that are right around there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I try to do the same thing with like Asteroids or those type of games, is to move back and forth a bit as I'm hitting the fire button.
Jerry.
Widen the spray.
Yeah, I should do that because I always miss.
Yeah, I think on Robotron, it takes a while for you not to want to just shoot in the direction that you're
walking.
Running.
Yeah,
right. I think it takes a while to figure out, to kind of disconnect those two and really, you know, shoot in all the directions that you need to shoot and run away as you're in the direction you need to run away.
It's like Williams' Crazy Climber controls. Yeah.
Go for it.
So we talked about kind of controls and just wanted to talk about cab design.
It is a good cabinet design.
Yeah, I love the Williams cabinet design.
Stenciled.
Stenciled, plywood, no bullshit.
It's got the mirror, so you can adjust the monitor on the inside that I've never done.
Mm. Yeah, and you can slide the monitor out on a piece of wood real easy.
Yep.
It's like two bolts, and the whole thing slides out. It's
yeah,
pretty that's sweet. Cool. Also, I like the upright, in-your-face monitor, not the down, looking into a hole monitor.
That's good too.
Like comparing it to, say, a Pac-Man, how you're looking mm-hmm. down at it. I like it. I think it's one of the earlier cabinets I remember that were like in your face like that, which kind of turned into that's what a video game cabinet looks like.
Centipede and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Centipede did it. I mean, Defender.
Asteroids.
Was that way, although Defender's slightly different cabinet, of course. What was the first game to use that cabinet? I mean, there's Joust, there's Bubbles, there's.
Defender. Defender
yeah,
was
I mean,
the
they
first.
Were all
it's a different cabinet,
slightly
though.
Different.
Yeah. Well,
but basically the same. There's like a little different silhouette to them, but like the Joust and I don't know about Stargate. I've never had a Stargate, but
Stargate same cabinet, just different silhouette on the side, more closed in
the
on the sides.
You can at least usually have half of a back door because one of them is attached to the game.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's true. The two of the ones that I've. They're both that I've had to have the, because that's where the PCB is on the bottom door.
You got
to
have that one.
Yeah. Moon Patrol is like an inch narrower for some weird reason.
Because it's fake.
And then what, Bubbles is that cabinet, and Stargate, and I guess we said all that. Sinistar.
Stargate is fuck ugly.
Yeah.
It is
yeah.
the worst Williams
Stargate?
Cab.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cabinet.
It's like
terrible.
It's like an Asteroids Deluxe style kind of.
It's like half. The top half of a deluxe.
Just a slab sided, no cutaway, basically. Immersive.
Well, they put the cutaway on the bottom for some reason.
Oh, yeah,
it's,
that's right.
Yeah. It's terrible.
It's weird.
Yeah. And all the games are stenciled. They're not stickers, except for obviously the CPO. But
yeah, but the side art.
Oh, and then the light that shines down from the top to illuminate the control panel is awesome, too. There's like a little crack where the marquee light shines down back behind the speaker panel.
I agree. I like the cabinet design.
Yeah, you see a lot of noob threads on Clav, like, everything looks good, but there's some light peeking out there's in the marquee. You know, should I put some shit on there?
Duct tape over the bottom.
Yep.
Yeah, just shove your clown shoe up there.
I actually did that to one of my games. Like
the clown shoe?
No, my Double Dragon, I offset the speaker grill a little bit. And so one of the speaker grill slots now lets a little bit of light bleed through onto the control panel.
Wow, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and you can still hear the speaker.
Another interesting tidbit was that they developed the game in 6 months.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is pretty quick. Seems pretty quick.
Rome was built in a day.
We just played...
Robotrome.
We just played Solar Quest, and that was 60 days or something.
Was it? It was like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
And I think most games were around that. Usually
they had to go fast.
6 months, yeah. I think they were kind of dicking around for a while. So
I was reading something about the how video games came in seasons, and you would like develop from the fall and then try to show something in the winter at the shows.
At the big shows.
Them ready, and then have them produced and out the next summer.
AMOA or whatever.
Yeah. So, 6 months seems like pretty standard. And also they were on a hardware setup that they'd been using for other games, so it was a lot easier than designing from scratch.
Oh yeah, you hear those sounds. There's similar sounds in so many games, and even pinball machines, you'll hear, oh, that's like
firepower.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff. Didn't Jarvis work in the pinball division?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he did Defender, and that was the first video they did.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was reading after Robotron, they and then they like quickly did Blaster, and then they went back to working on pinball stuff for a while, and then they
Joust
moved back to
the pinball.
That wasn't them though. That was what's his name?
And then he did Raw Thrills and did nothing but fucking gun and driving games forever.
So hey, Narc, right? He did Narc, so that was like the.
Also, the VidKids thing, was that one of the first games where developers kind of got their name into it, even though it wasn't their name? It was, where they got some kind of credit? Was that kind of early?
Maybe.
I think so. Well, they kind of branched off and made their own company. And I guess maybe that was in the contract for...
That they had to put that name in there, because I know that was a huge fight where, the developers never got to put their name in a video game, so they would sneak it in.
Yeah,
they would,
for the 2600.
Initials and shit like that.
Yeah, they'd put their initials on the default high score tables. Maybe there'd be an Easter egg where their names would come up, like in Star Wars, in the Death Star, something. You know.
Yeah, maybe.
That was a fight for recognition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta just quit, make your own company. Yourself, like, look at all this money we're making you. You want us to keep making you money? Hire us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give us credit.
So that's Robotron, and soon we'll hear from Brian's choice what game he will pick.
As soon as we figure out where we're recording next time.
Yeah. Robotron, coins up, coins down.
Coins up here.
Coins up here.
Down.
That's the first ever coins down on the coin region.
First coins down.
There's lots of
games. Out of all the shitty games.
There's lots of games in my game room that Ian would probably give a coins down to.
Yeah.
I would say three. 720.
720
and Dragon's Lair.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, you got me.
I'll give Dragon's Lair coins down.
We haven't picked that one
yet. Yeah, we haven't done it.
That's what you should do, is pick Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, next time.
Yeah, there you go. So, shit.
I'll pick 720 and I'll spend the whole time playing that one.
Nice.
Speaking of shitty games.
Yeah, we got a new segment, which is tentatively called The Shit Game Off. So, all one word, no spaces. So, we talk a lot about games we like, and we talk shit about some games we don't like. So, I put together a list of games that I think are bad, and I'm going to ask everyone, given two of these bad games, which would you choose and why? Now, I want to kind of set the stage here. So, we mentioned a desert island game. Pick a desert island game. Because I feel like, if you're thinking about your own collection, I think you've got some room for some chaff. You know, you might say, oh, I really love Donkey Kong, so I'll get Donkey Kong 3 and Junior and the original, just because I really like Donkey Kong or whatever. Or maybe you have some games you really like playing, and then you have like a Tron that looks really nice, but maybe you don't enjoy playing it. once your collection reaches a certain size, you can afford to have a bad game or two for reasons that have nothing to do with playing the game or like the inherent enjoyment you would get out of the game. And what I want to get at is, you know, these games are not enjoyable, but I want you to judge them on enjoyment. So making this list was actually really, really hard because there are some very obvious choices I could put on that I don't think would be interesting. And I tried to pick some games that like people would know. Like I could also pick games that suck that no one's ever heard of, which I also don't think is interesting. So I tried to pick games that like people know of that aren't that good. And I have created a list, some head-to-head matchups here. So if you don't know what the game is, feel free to pass and I'll give you another matchup. I'm going to start with Brandon. Brandon, you have to pick one game to take on a desert island. Do you pick Xevious or Street Fighter 1?
Oh, God. Oh, man. You know, Street Fighter 1...
Conversion.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the pneumatic... I played the pneumatic button version back in the day, and it was garbage. That's probably why it didn't last. I've actually played both of these games back when they were released, and so... Now, if you're on a desert island and you could just hear the fucking... Now, does the game get to turn off on this desert island? Because, I mean, if you're like 3 a.m. on a desert island and you're listening to the Xevious, I mean, you're
it,
fucked.
It has no sound in attract mode, right?
Well, so. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you don't have to play it if it's on a desert. Eventually, I might use it for survival and burn it, so maybe we should look for the biggest cabinet.
By yeah, area. Turn it into a raft. Yeah, make a boat. but I really... I'm getting at gameplay here.
Oh,
so.
Okay, fine. Well,
is there someone else on the island with you to play man, Street just Fighter with?
Talk. Okay, that's a reasonable question. No.
You know, I would pick Xevious because Street Fighter 1 is really bad, and there's bad games that you can like deal with and get some enjoyment out of it, like a lot of your games, Ian. You know, like Blueprint. That's not the greatest game, but it's still kind of fun to dick around with and play, and it's not that frustrating. But Street Fighter 1 is very frustrating, and it's it was before they really, you know, honed in on making smooth moves and being able to execute, like, you know, like to try to do the fucking Shoryuken and all that shit on Street Fighter 1 is like really hard. So it basically turns into a worthless game like Kung Fu. So yeah, I'd pick Xevious because even though the soundtrack sucks, it's very slow paced. It's kind of like Galaxian to me, but you can ramp up the difficulty and the core gameplay is there to where I'd rather just stick around with that. So that's my answer.
Okay.
I do hate Xevious though.
Okay. Jordan, given the chance to take one game onto a desert island, would you take Pit Fighter? Jesus. Or Robbie Roto.
Oh, God. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's Robbie Roto.
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, yeah. I mean, Pit Fighter, to me, is a worthless game. I don't see where I would have any fun with that whatsoever.
Have you even played Pit Fighter? But tell me why.
Yeah.
The Adventures of Robbie Roto. It's all right. I mean...
No, it's not.
No?
What do you like about it?
I'm trying to think. I know I've played that.
It ain't the graphics.
Yeah, the graphics are terrible.
Someone took a fucking color crayon on a canvas.
Pit Fighter just has no gameplay that's any good to me. I'm not into fighting wrestling type games, and it's so choppy and so poorly done. It was like they were like pressing. It was like they were just trying to really get better graphics that they couldn't do, and it's just, I don't know, it's just like really choppy and stuttery gameplay to me.
Yeah.
I think I could have more fun with Robbie Roto than the Pit Fighter.
Okay.
That was too easy. That one was too easy.
I think I have enough for a second round.
Good.
Brian.
Yes.
Would you choose...
You should pick Pit Fighter, man.
Yeah. Would you choose Arabian or Bagman?
Well, Arabian is one I've rarely played, if ever.
It is not good.
I'm not 100% sure that I can even tell you what you do on Arabian, but I think you climb up the sails of a ship, maybe?
Like the letters Arabian.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I've kind of played it. Bagman is a game that I kind of love to hate and hate to love because I always want to get past that first stage. Oh, it's like my big arcade goal is to get past that first stage, but I can never do it. And it's like, there are parts of that game I really like. I like when you die and he goes, ay, ay, ay. I like that part.
Well, you are on a desert island. You can choose to do what the fuck you want. If that gets you enjoyment, if that sound gets you.
So yeah, it's like, I kind of enjoy playing Bagman, and I actually did play it at Grinker's when they had a cabinet there, because I don't think I've ever played it in a dedicated cabinet. Well, that might not be true.
PRG.
Yeah, they had it
a couple years ago.
At Ground Control, they had it when they first opened the other side.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a great game, and it's a very frustrating game, but I have like a little soft spot for Bagman, so I would definitely have to say Bagman.
Okay. Do we want to do one more round?
Yeah.
I think I can.
Can we, before we do that, can we see if everyone agrees with what we chose? Because I think that would be kind of fun.
Yes.
I want to mention that The Adventures of Robbie Rota was co-designed by Dave Nutting.
Yes.
Nutting and Associates.
Yep.
Yeah. Looks like the fucking artwork looks like he nutted all over it.
I think Dig Dug came out at the same time, and they're kind of similar because they're dirt-made games.
It's also got some Mr. Do similarities as well.
My favorite Eugene Jarvis moment was when he was debuting. They're debuting fucking Robotron, and then there was that one fucking... and Midway was debuting Robbie Roto, and he's like... What's that one? Oh, I'm sure that's a good one.
He's like, oh, looks crazy.
That's good, too.
Just for that.
But I agree with everyone's except for Brian's. I would take Arabian over Bagman.
I agree, too. I've played both. But, you know, if you have to put it in context, on a desert island, you do have a long fucking time to master Bagman, but it's just so spaced out
to get past
to where you can't
one.
Do those quick pickup games like you could with basically almost any other game besides that game. So I would have to disagree.
All right,
I have a friend who grew up in the era, and when he talks about classic arcade games that he likes and remembers, he always brings up Bagman. He actually got good at it, I guess, and he likes Bagman. So
I'm sure there's a cult following.
I don't know. I haven't played Arabian enough to really.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I've played
maybe
more
a couple times
more Bagman than Arabian for some reason. Maybe it's just not emulated well, or something. I'm sure Arabian's emulated though.
They both are.
I'll have to give that a shot.
It's janky, right? It's a Sun Electronics game like Kangaroo. So
yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. It's pretty cool. I like the concept. It's just executed poorly.
Beautiful art.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head for sure. And yeah, it's got the Atari cabinet has the full Atari setup. Yeah. And it definitely looks great.
I would buy it just for the cabinet, to be honest.
I don't remember. I don't think it has the issue with Kangaroo. I actually kind of like Kangaroo, though it is not a good game, but I kind of like it.
Oh, I like it too.
But the fucking jump mechanic where you have to push up like it's a Commodore game the worst. And I think Arabian doesn't suffer from that.
All right, let's do round two.
That okay, I'm not sure I have games that are going to work for this, so we might edit this out. Just saying. I know like those are the ones where I was like, yes, these are top-notch.
They were very good, Ian. I say those were tough decisions
Thank you.
Right there.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
We should... Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Brandon. No, what we should what?
We should do this next time, too.
You should... Anyone out there should call in and give me some suggestions, because I don't have any more than this. Okay. Brandon, would you pick Rally X or Shoot the Bull? You may not know Shoot the Bull.
Is that the Midway one?
It's the conversion for Pac-Man that turns it into a dart game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I see the art all the time on eBay because it's and it's always NOS because no one fucking installed it. It's like Shoot the Bull. Yeah, this item was relisted 800 times. Sell history none. That's
Rally X.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that.
But why? You have to come up with a justification for it.
I think playing like a game that's like a physical, like a really like, you know, it's like playing like a bowl. It's like playing Coors Light bowling, right? I don't want to play Coors Light bowling. I just want to go bowl. The games that are just very, very simple that they took a shit ton of time to make into some video game for some reason, but it's like very basic in real life. It's just kind of a joke. I mean, think about the physics that are in that game and how poorly it's executed. I don't think I've ever played it, but I've seen it. And Rally X, I don't like that game either. I think it sucks. The cabinet sucks. The little side art dude, he's pretty cool, but the cabinet looks like it's like someone fucking took a sander and fucking just went to town around the logo, and I don't know. I think the game sucks. But there's meat there. There's good gameplay. Just like Xevious.
Okay. Jordan, would you pick Willow or Rolling Thunder?
He's getting all the good, like, JAMA 90s shit.
I like Willow.
You do you?
Yeah. I think Willow.
I fucked up, man.
Okay. Yeah. Willow's fine.
I like Willow.
For one of those going to the side and doing things. Yeah, that's fine. I've played that, like, on purpose.
I remember a long time ago I saw a Major Havoc in like Seattle or something on Craigslist, and it was but it was converted to Willow.
Wow.
Like,
I remember full, that, yeah.
Full marquee, everything.
Nice conversion. Yeah. Willow's a better game.
Do you want me to give you another matchup?
Rolling Thunder. I never liked Rolling Thunder. Yeah. I liked the art when I was a kid because it had tall sprites. I thought that was interesting.
It has good graphics, but shitty gameplay.
But then I played it, and it was real.
I like it.
Jerky.
I like Rolling
Thunder. I don't know. It was not smooth, I thought. It was just like when he pulls the gun out and does his crouch thing. It takes too long to just shoot the fucking bullet, you know?
That's not true. You can shoot that fucking thing fast.
Can you? Once you start shooting, you get that. Yeah. It's kind of cool looking, but it's not fun to play. There's other games that are platform shooters. Is that a platform shooter? Is that what you call that?
Yeah.
They're way better. And Willow's good.
Yeah, Willow's. It's Capcom, right? I mean,
I don't think I've ever played Willow.
It's pretty decent. It's a lot like those eras of Capcom games. Was it CPS 1,
like,
I think?
Yeah. Like Ghouls and Ghosts.
Magic Sword and a lot of the...
Black Tiger's a shooter. Like, never mind. I'm not an expert of those type of games, but for some reason I've played Willow a few times in it's all right.
Okay. Last one. Brian, would you pick Baby Pac-Man or Journey?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. Brian's getting all the good ones.
I actually don't mind Journey that much, but it is a very repetitive game.
Mm-hmm. All of them are, I mean. Right.
And even though it sucks, it kind of ramps up pretty quick. So I don't know how far you're actually, how much gameplay you're getting out of that. I mean, you're pretty much doing the same thing over and over again. With Baby Pac, that's the pinball / arcade game, right?
Yeah, and it's like a really shitty pinball and a really shitty video game.
Yeah, but you get two terrible tastes that taste terrible together. Two shitty things in one. I think I would have to go with Baby Pac on that one. And I don't have a lot of time on Baby Pac-Man, so...
I don't either. I've played it a couple times.
Well, and it would break, too, so you just have a broken game on your island.
If one breaks, all of it breaks, right?
These games will not break. That's one of the rules.
Okay.
Damn. Yeah, I want those games.
The company that takes them onto the desert island with you is very careful.
Very careful white glove service.
I guess if we're commenting on each other... Oh, you have to give your reasons why.
No, I give my reasons why, I think.
Yeah.
What? Oh, man. What was the other choice again?
Journey.
Oh, man.
Which, to me, Journey is like on a par with Tron, honestly. It's just like four mini games. And I've played quite a bit of Journey.
It's
fine. Enough to see all the screens, and then you get that little master thing after the four screens. You have a boss thing.
You have a cassette player. You can bring some cassettes with you and plug them in.
Put your hot mixtape in there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd go Journey easy on that one.
I think if Journey was like a $800 game, then I might like it more, because there's no reason for it to be the price that it is.
I've played it once, and I thought it was just awful.
Yeah.
Just zero redeeming qualities.
I don't like Baby Pac-Man, though, so...
Yeah, I also don't like that game. These are all games, you know, like...
By the way...
I don't like any of these games.
Except for Willow.
And, yeah. This is a lot of me just putting shit games down there. So yeah. You can assume I would not pick any of these.
I like it.
Yeah, that's good.
We're going to have to come up with some for you next time.
Yeah, go for it. Someone else wants to run it, that's cool.
We should do a whole episode with just shit games.
Eventually, we'd call out like every game, and then nobody would like us because we called out all their games as shit games.
I do that anyway. Said
Robotron sucks. We've already lost all our subscribers.
All right, let's just get into game room updates.
Ian, do you want to kick us off?
I suppose. I've just been dicking around with my Fluke setup, and I have done some amazing, filthy wizardry to make this all work. Like, at the time this came out, you would write programs to test your game PCBs, and you would program it on the machine, and they had some pretty nice features for the time, like an integrated debugger and syntax checker, and, you know, good stuff for the time. But they also didn't have stuff like source control or syntax highlighting or any of that stuff, which, as, you know, a developer in the 21st century, you want that stuff. And so I've been slowly hacking on a setup to get me the setup that I want. And I have gone... I've put so much fucking work into this, and I haven't fixed anything with it. It's amazing. But
that's what people with Flukes do.
It's true.
Time working on them, then fixing it.
I know, and then... Well, I don't want to step on your shit, but Brian brought an Asteroids PCB over. I did use the Fluke, but I didn't use any programs on it because I haven't written any. But what I want to do is I want to fix Tempest boards because I have a fuck ton of them, and they're worth some good money when they're working. And they have some hard things to fix. So I've just been trying to get a setup for Tempest and get it totally repeatable so that I can throw anything at it and, you know, be able to fix it pretty easily. So, I started by redrawing the Tempest schematic from scratch using the original schematics and verifying it against hardware, because the 9100, if you program in all of your shit, then it has a guided fault isolation. So it'll say like it knows what, like signature basically a chip should be outputting. And if it's not, then it knows what the inputs are, and it'll like just prompt you to connect down the chain until you find what the problem is, which is pretty cool, but you have to have all that stuff built in. Back in the day, they had some programs that would take CAD designs for board layouts and turn it into the format the Fluke wants, but no one would use those programs anymore. So I tried typing the stuff up in, and I spent like a half hour at it. I was like, no, fuck this. So instead, I redrew the whole schematic, and it's beautiful. And then I output the a net list from that. And then I wrote another program that turns that into the Fluke format. And then I wrote a bunch more shit to like basically package everything up into a floppy disk image. And then some more stuff to actually write it to a physical floppy disk that I can then stick in the Fluke and copy. And like real tour de force of fucking bullshit on this one. Because like the CAD program I'm using doesn't have a way of doing any of this stuff in an automated fashion. And so I used like GUI scripting where I just fire up the graphical program and I'm like, move here, click this, do that in order to get the output I want. And then a bunch of programs I wrote. And then some old DOS programs that Fluke wrote that I'm running inside of DOSBox. And like I have all this fucking shit glued together to the point where like I make a change to the schematic or the code or any of the nonsense that I've put together that drives this, and it just automatically rebuilds everything and writes it to a disk and spits it out. Oh. And that's pretty fucking badass, I think. No one else has done that.
Yeah. Sounds impressive.
But yeah, it's coming together.
Sounds like you were stuck on an island and you had nothing else to do.
Yeah, I know. I have over a year into this setup of evenings and weekends and whatever free time I can chisel.
And this is all about Tempest, or can it be used for other boards?
I can reuse the setup for other stuff.
Oh, but you have to rewrite the schematic for every board. Yep. That you want to do this to.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So I want to do that with some other stuff. Battlezone, I think, would be the next one because it's very similar to the Tempest hardware.
Pit Fighter.
Yeah. I'm on it. Fucking on it. I kind of want to do Asteroids too, but they made so many different hardware variations of Asteroids that that's going to be a lot of schematic fuckery.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, it's neat. A lot of reverse engineering and just like, okay, here's a problem and I know how to fix it with filthy, filthy magic.
Wow.
You're going to have to cape when you start. If you get the first PCB, yeah. Like put a fucking cape on and like... Get a fucking wand, fluke wand.
So is the code highlighting? What kind of code is it that it's highlighting?
So Fluke created a programming language specifically for writing test stuff on the 9100 called TL1. And so I made an Emacs mode for that because I love Emacs and use it for everything. So I can do all that stuff in that setup and shell out to their old DOS program, and it'll tell me if I have syntax errors before I go through all the rigmarole of making the disk and whatnot.
Cool.
Don't copy that floppy, man. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Good job.
Everybody send Ian your Tempest boards.
Yeah, for free.
Sell it back to you for $450.
Yep.
Yeah.
Working.
But it's nice. I like having the Tempest schematic. Like, I've just been referring to it because, you know, you can search through everything, which is extremely handy when you're looking at a schematic. You're
like, yeah. What
the fuck is BB asterisk? What does that connect to?
Yeah, it's not the janky OCR of, like, a PDF where sometimes it recognizes something unless you go in there and fucking hand type all of the shit. Like,
is that a 6 or a 5? I can't tell.
Oh, man, I had so many of those things when I was dealing with it. I was like... multiple prints and like doing everything and like going and beeping out on the board and whatnot.
And sometimes the schematics are wrong too.
Oh, but yeah. I corrected all of the issues I found and put little notes on there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Start charging to do that for like games, you know?
I was thinking about like, does anyone want to buy a copy of the Tempest schematic in PDF searchable for $20? Maybe.
Yeah.
On floppy disk.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Comes on 12 floppy disks in a 2400 DPI.
So what would you search? You just search for like a chip name or something?
And
name,
location, signal, any of that stuff.
Huh, wow.
Anything you see printed on the schematic, like everything is there. All the cat box signatures and signal names and everything is exactly like it is on there.
I don't know what half that stuff is.
You will now if you spend $20.
$29.95.
Plus shipping and handling.
Three easy payments.
Yeah. I can just follow the line from one thing to another. That's about as good as I am at a schematic.
Your little Sally Struther infomercials. Yeah. Tempest repair. VCR.
TV VCR repair.
Has this ever happened to you?
Laser disc repair.
You got a Tempest board.
That was a pretty good update. Yep. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
That's all you've done?
Yep.
In the last year?
Game bench
last year.
Yeah. 2 years.
Wait, go ahead, Brian.
Me next?
Yeah.
Well, as we alluded to last episode, we did some buying and selling of games. Well, did we do any buying of games? I don't know if we did.
Yeah,
I did. Oh, yeah. But yes, a couple of my games moved on down the line. The Paperboy I had shipped out to Ohio, and it just recently... arrived at its new home and also sold my Kix Zookeeper conversion in a little package deal with Brandon's Dragon's Lair that he might talk about in his updates. So yeah, moved those down the line. So right now I have my Battle Zone in the arcade, which is randomly giving me some crazy vector problems. And earlier I turned it on and it was wigging out, so I turned it back off whenever it was coming over. And I was like, oh, let me show you what this is doing. And I turned it on, and nothing. Play blind. And then I turned it off and on a few more times, and it worked.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
You're good.
Wow. Those are the best fixes.
I know.
So, yeah, the other thing I did was like with the Robotron, like I said last night, I rebuilt the sticks, put the new grommets in, which they feel really good. I was afraid that they were going to be kind of stiff, but I think maybe you gave them, you sold them to me, Jordan. I can't remember, or maybe Ian did.
Maybe Ian. I think Ian bought too many or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have them in my machine too. They're great.
Those repros are really good.
Yeah, you just put them in and start playing. You don't have to wait 5 years for them to wear out.
Yeah, because the ones they had before that were like fucking
way,
too steep. You had to like use two hands.
We were thinking of like building a robot that you would just have running that would just wear them out for you. Like, after like, you know, 300 hours with a robot, now they're ready to go. They were fucking stiff as hell.
Yeah, you had those on yours for a while, right?
I remember that. Arm breakers.
So the other thing I did with Robotron was, because I was still having problems with it, the power board resetting, and I'd completely rebuilt it and replaced headers and repinned everything, and it was still doing it. And I was like, maybe I'll just buy a working one off eBay and see what happens. So I did that, and I just replaced the board, not the bottle cap transistors, and sure enough, it works, and it's been running solid. Knock on wood.
That's not wood.
It's particle board.
It's a wood sticker. It looks like wood.
It's fine. It's tapper.
Yeah, I've been tempted to do that sometimes. Just buy a working one. And
well, that's what I'm doing now, because I'm still having all those troubles with the MCR power board. So I bought a couple of those, thinking maybe I might swing another miracle. But unfortunately, now I have one board where the 5-volt works and one board with 12-volt works.
just plug them both in.
And yeah, I can put them together, and I'm making one board. So what I'm doing is, because the one with the 5-volt works is the one that I completely rebuilt, mm-hmm. So I'm taking all the components off of that in the 5-volt line and putting it on the one where the 12-volt works.
Yeah,
and so far, I haven't had any luck, but
Jesus Christ.
I'm pretty close. If none of that works, I'm just going to get the switcher adapter.
Those work?
Yeah.
Fake ass bullshit.
And if it doesn't, then you know there's something in your harness, I suppose.
It's just not that. It's not that complex, man. That MCR.
I know it's not. That's why it's so frustrating.
Well, I mean, if he's got, well, never mind. I was gonna say, I mean, if you got like the 5-volt and the 12-volt individually, there's nothing in the harness, right?
That's true. That's true. Good point. Yeah. Yep.
It could be that connector on that board on that linear power supply. It always turns green.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. And as Ian alluded to, I've been working with him on my Asteroids board. I would bring both boards over, but I think we figured out that the Asteroids had less problems than the Asteroids Deluxe board did.
I think it was just the edge connector wasn't fried on that one.
Yeah. So we were able, by replacing a couple... Yeah, we. Ian was able to figure out which chips were bad on here. Maybe almost. You can explain what you found.
Yeah, so there was all of the RAM and ROM tests were failing because there was a stuck bit on the data line, on the data bus. DB3 wasn't able to be driven, and kind of poked around and did some diagnosis. And I thought it was the buffer driver at first, generally, because if your whole address space is having the same issue, that's common to all the RAMs and ROMs. Everything goes through there, so that's a good place to start. But it was not that. It actually ended up being one of the scratch memory RAMs had its output shorted to VCC, and so was just driving that line high all the time. So pulled that out, and that was okay. And then there was like a more traditional RAM failure in the vector memory as well. But the data output shorted to VCC was kind of a new one, and that was interesting to track that one down, because it was kind of a weird symptom. So yeah, it was fun. I was glad we figured that out.
What's VCC?
VCC, it's your power supply, and on all these, that is your +5-volt supply. So shorted to VCC means that your data bus is where all of the data that's coming from ROM, or that your CPU is sending to your RAM or reading back from it. It's the 8 data lines that data goes over. So
they're all stuck high, you would say?
No, just the different. Just one of the 8 was stuck high.
Okay.
So DB3. Yeah. So, you know, you would drive those high for a 1-bit and low for a 0-bit. So no 0-bits were able to traverse that line, and consequently none of the ROMs could be read because the data was corrupted. None of the RAMs could be read or even written to because that was also corrupted.
So, I hate DB3.
Yeah.
So now that's working. The one thing that's doing now is there's some jiggle in the vectors that need to replace some some pots on the board.
Yeah, and you got some sound issues to track down too, because
your
ship is making the UFO fire sound, so and your UFO is making no fire sound.
That's awesome. Who cares?
Yeah, it's a ROM hack.
I don't know.
But the other thing was it wasn't, there was no sound. Like I hooked it up and there was no sound. I was, my friend Jacob came over the other day and we were looking at it and he was like, did you ever hook up that other speaker? I was like, no, I haven't done that yet. So we just hooked up the other speaker and lo and behold, sound came out and we took the speaker out of the cabinet and it was completely blown out. I don't know why it was even still in the cabinet. It was crazy looking.
It was a Sony Explode brand.
Exploded.
Did it like have no cone whatsoever?
It's right there.
I think I was looking at it. I don't see a cone in there.
It is now a salad strainer.
All the paper is gone. I have no idea. I've never seen a speaker like that before.
Yep. It seems like some kid went in there and just started picking
just
it.
Just ripped it apart.
Some rat
used little it. Mouse got in there and started eating it.
There's no cone.
I've got a speaker on the way to replace that, so... That should be good. The other thing that I did was install a marquee light on my Centipede Cabaret, which I found a housing for a fluorescent bulb at the local Goodwill bins and built a little particle board backing, drilled it into the cabinet, and connected it to the transformer, to the extra output in the transformer, and it worked.
Sweet.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah. Fake.
Looks it's good, fake. I thought.
Yeah, it's fake, but you know, it's additional.
Yeah,
it's
cool. It is cool. I like it.
Other Atari games did it, so.
Yep, well, I don't know.
That style, right? None of them that style had the light, or did they?
Dig Dug didn't,
Tempest
right?
had it, and Dig Dug and Centipede did not.
Okay.
And I found a while back, I think the actual original document is no longer up, which is unfortunate, but... Atari Scott's site. He used to have a bunch of internal Atari memos up on, I think it was atarigames.com. And I was reading through those one night because I have a very boring life. And I found some minutes from the meeting where they made the decision not to put the light in Centipede. And it was because Tempest was the first game to be released in that style of cabinet. And the operators were complaining that it was too hard to open the control panel because the light was in the way.
Whatever.
And so they decided that they would, because of those customer complaints, they would not put a light in the other two games, and they would just make the marquee graphics very bright so that they would stand out. So you can go, I think there's a screen capture. I posted it on Clav and put a screen cap of that up there, but I thought that was interesting. I mean, I don't know if I agree with it, but it's interesting to know what they were thinking of at the time.
Yeah.
Customers always right.
No, they're not. They're full of
shit.
Yeah,
they weren't right. It's funny,
the one thing that's supposed to attract the player to come play the game is turned off, and just the fact that that's the location and the cabaret, I guess, that's bad design from Atari, I guess.
Yeah, and the one thing that I did to account for the extra light coming up through the control panel is just cut a piece of cardboard and stick on top of it.
Wow. No, it's supposed to be like the Williams. It's supposed to be coming out there. So you can see the screen.
It's supposed to be glowing.
So you can make sure that the bezel is clean.
Yeah, that's that'd be a pain in the dirty, your dusty bezel.
Clean your shit, man.
But yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Nice.
What about you, Brandon?
Actually, I already did talk about Dragon's Lair last time. So...
Damn it. I sold that. Listen to that episode.
Yeah. And I also sold my Major Havoc. And it was just, I don't know. I think it's just, I had my time with it and wanted to buy some other shit. So now I have money to buy other shit. Decided to get a pinball machine, and that's about it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there's not much more to say.
I was amazed that your space for your games. I was like, oh damn, you know, you sold two games, you're gonna have some space in there. And you'd gotten rid of the Pole Position cocktail that was in there.
Cockpit.
Yeah. That was in there too. I was like, fuck, you're gonna have a ton of room in there. And then I helped you move that Creech in there. I was like, where the fuck are you gonna put this?
No, there's room. Packed. There's room.
Is there?
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it.
I'd like to see a Pole Position cocktail.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Like Monaco.
Yeah. Those like are Monaco. So weird. I kind of want one just because they're so terrible.
Yeah.
Did you end up having to take the door off to get it in?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I had Major Havoc for like 5 years. Yeah, it's like one of the longest games I've had. Yeah. Now Omega Race is the longest owned game that I have.
Nice.
alongside Robotron, although I sold my original one. And yeah, I've been looking for a creature for a long time, and I found a guy that bought three of them, and
those were like re-imports.
Yeah. And so it was kind of, you know, beat up here and there, and it's not in the amazing condition, but the playfield's not as ratted out as I thought it would be. So I borrowed Ian's car and drove down to Eugene, I think it was. But it wasn't really Eugene. It was like outside of Eugene in the country.
Did you go to Blair Alley while you're down there?
No.
Damn.
Didn't have time.
Should have.
And it was the first time I drove a stick in like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And
gotta sack up.
The funniest part of the trip was when I was going through like Oregon City, I saw a Jeep that was fully branded in NOS energy drink. And I don't know why, but that was like the funniest part of the trip. And it was like within the first like 20 minutes. But I hauled ass. I mean, I didn't have any time to like goof around other than make some small talk. And I probably prolonged the transaction myself because I realized that it was Friday and I had to give the guy cash and I had an ATM limit of $400. And I needed,
so you got it for $400. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I somehow was able to get like 900 out, and the bank was wondering how I got that money out. And I just did that 4 times with, with 2 debit cards. And, that was kind of funny. Yeah. And since it was from the ATM, it was all 20s.
No, oh, so, man, that big so stack.
I had like 4.5 inches of 20s.
Jeez. Should have put it in a briefcase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fucking handcuffs.
Fucking Holly. Yeah. Yeah. You know what Hollies are? No. Yeah. They're fucking special cases designed to carry $1 million of hundreds.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nice. Fucking great. Go look that shit up.
Yeah. I should have brought that and disappointed him. Yeah. But I just like, I'm like, sorry, man, here's all the money. And so he spent the whole time I was there counting it multiple times. Cause
like a Vegas dealer.
Yeah.
Laying it out on his other creature pinball machine pretty much. Yeah. And then he's like, I think I lost count and got to do it again. Or, you know, like one of those things where you're just trying to talk to someone and you can't concentrate.
Yeah.
But it was a good transaction and got it for a really reasonable price. The only thing that was wrong with it was that, and one of the vertical up kickers that shoots from the slide shot was just toast, I guess, whatever. So he put a Rotten Dog board in there, and that didn't fix it. But so he disconnected the coil, so you couldn't basically play multi-ball because you couldn't complete the M.
Yeah.
So like half the game was dead, and that's like the mode start too for a lot of shots.
Yeah, one of the two.
So I was like, this sucks. And so like I ordered the coil, I ordered the transistor because I didn't have it because it was a Rotten Dog board, which used fucking MOSFET transistors instead of like the typical tips in Williams boards. And metered out the coil. It was fine. It was in spec, so it wasn't the coil. Looked for shorts in the wires and any damaged pinch wires, nothing. So I ripped off that fucking driver board and that thing was a pain in the ass. Holy shit. Like, I don't think I've ever done that before. I've never taken out a driver board for like a modern Williams game. And there's like a million connectors. And I had like so much shit packed in the game room that I was like this, like reaching over the machine and got it out. And sure enough, the MOSFET was toast, which drove that coil.
So the Rotten Dog is the MPU board. So, right.
Well, they make replacements for every board in the game.
Okay.
But for this one, it was the driver board, yeah.
Okay, so he put in the driver board.
Yeah, so he must have shorted something else, too. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's literally brand new. And so, yeah, I swapped the transistor out, and it immediately fixed it. And I was like, now I have a fully working game besides some light matrix issue.
You don't need lights.
Yeah, it's one of the control lamps is stuck on no matter what, so it's kind of annoying, but it's not like a game breaker. Yeah, so like that's my first pinball machine since Twilight Zone, which was
a while ago.
I think 6 years ago, maybe, and the kids love it, and I like it, And yeah, now I have a pinball machine. I'm hoping to get another one maybe in the next 6 months. It's not about the money now. It's about just finding one and coordinating it, and just game transactions and pickups are a pain in the ass, and I just don't want to do it for a while. So I'm just going to sock the money away and play my games. And
should have got that Jungle Lord.
Nah.
What?
I'm going to get another DMD game.
Mm. Nice. Yeah. What are you thinking of?
I'm kind of torn between some B titles. So either Johnny Mnemonic or... what is that other one I was looking at?
T2.
No.
T2 is actually good. I think T2 is
good. Yeah, it's not horrible. It's just not the one I was thinking of. What is it? I don't know. Johnny Mnemonic
what's
or...
What's the theme?
I don't know.
Cards?
Cards, yeah. Now it's going to bug me now.
Mnemonic would be an okay game.
Yeah.
It's got that fucking hand deal, which is kind of cool.
How about Shadow? Is that expensive?
Yeah. That was
is
it.
That oh,
yeah, that's the other one. Yeah, yeah, because that's a really deep game.
Yeah,
and it's still reasonable. So yeah, I was thinking about something that a good balance of deep and still like considered as somewhat B title. Although that now that's like a hot title too. You know, like kind of like Dracula mm-hmm. was not really popular. Now like everyone wants one. It's yeah, kind of it's coming up like that, and it's.
I wasn't sure if Shadow had caught on yet or not.
Yeah. So now it's like
I've played it a couple times.
Average condition shadows are like 3,500 now, depending on where you go. Maybe a little bit cheaper, maybe a little bit more.
But I like the old Shadow radio show. Listen to a bunch of that. Never saw the movie.
It's certainly better than the movie. The game is. The pinball.
Yeah,
it's like Lobar.
It's like a crawl. You know.
Yeah.
Good game, terrible movie.
Yeah. I think that's kind of all I had. So I got to pick up something, I got to sell something, I got to fix something. So it's been a good last couple months of game stuff. Jordan?
I guess it's my turn.
What about you, Jordan?
I don't remember if I mentioned finishing up a track and field. I probably did. And I traded that away. So I was finishing that.
What? Traded it?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know?
No.
Yeah, I was doing that to trade Dan for his Indiana Jones System 1. Yeah. So I got a working Indiana Jones System 1 because I have... a Marble Madness kit, and I don't have a Marble Madness anymore because I traded that to Dave to get Fire Escapes, and I want Marble Madness again, and so now I have this Indiana Jones that works. However, my Marble Madness cartridge does not work. I was looking, or actually Ian and I were looking at it, and there's actually quite a bit of corrosion on the backside, which is strange.
That's weird for that late of a
game. Yeah, there's no battery or anything on it, so I don't know if it was just stored in a mud puddle or something for a while.
Soda.
Soda spilled. Yeah, I don't know. There's quite a bit of corrosion there, and I've spent some time cleaning it off, but I suppose that any chip... or component that corrosion came in contact with could possibly be ruined. And so that's a lot to look at.
Yeah, it's a fairly good-sized board.
Yeah, and there's quite a few areas. I mean, I beeped out, you know, check continuity on all the traces that had corrosion on them, and they all, even the tiny skinny ones that look like they were fucked up, they all actually still worked. So
I've worked on those before.
I'm kind of at a loss. I'm going to have to start, like... I don't know what I'm going to do. Throw it on eBay and then buy a good one. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fix this. So that's where I am on that.
But is that the cart or the motherboard?
The cart. I actually have two working motherboards.
Okay. But one might not have the Lita chip for the trackball.
Yeah, I forgot what the Lita chip looks like. There isn't a chip that says Lita on it, of course. It's been a while since I've researched it. But yeah, I think the game itself was a Marble Madness converted to Indiana Jones. So
big mistake.
I'm guessing, my Road Blasters was the same way. It was originally a Marble Madness, and then I converted it back. But anyhow, so I'm guessing that main board has the Lita chip on it.
Yeah.
And if not, it's not too hard to get a main board with a Lita chip. I mean, the harder part is getting a Marble Madness cartridge.
Yeah.
So that's where I am on that. I had a party a couple weeks ago, so I had all the games on. It seemed like everything still worked. And I think when... When Ryan came over, kind of newer collector to Portland, nice guy. He's got the fever, buying everything he can. I think I turned all the games on for him. It was him and a couple other people were over. I think Chris Dorr came by, Geach. And yeah, so things are still working. I sold one game out of the game room. Ryan really wanted a Tron. It was like his grail. And I really only owned it because it looks cool next to Discotron, and I probably haven't played it for 2 years. So I'm like, ah, fuck it. You can buy it. And so now I don't have a Tron anymore. So that's interesting. I hardly ever sell games, and I thought, yeah, I'll sell this game.
It's a trough.
It's a trough. So,
hey, if you were on a desert island, would you play Track and Field or Indiana Jones?
Track and Field.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't. I'm like, I haven't even played Indiana Jones, and I've owned it for like a couple months. Yeah. I mean, I turned it on to see it worked, and I played like, yeah, no, I didn't even play it. I don't like that game. But anyhow, so I'll sell the kit out of that. Those can get some money and enough to buy a Marble Madness cartridge for sure. So
yeah,
there we go.
Definitely.
So I'll be happy. It doesn't have side art on it, so I don't know if I'll decide to restore that or not.
God, the Marble Madness art in the package is fucking awesome.
The what? Side art?
It's just a blue Atari.
Do they have custom side art for the
Marble Madness? Somebody probably made custom side art.
I love the marquee art.
Yeah,
that they had that on the side, too.
I think somebody made fan art that's that way.
Never mind.
But the original is just the blue and gray stripes.
It looks like it's going to look like a 7800 Kurt.
Basically. Yeah, kind of. And what I've found is there's a couple different variations of it, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
But,
and they both suck.
The reproduction is the same.
Show him.
Yeah.
It's a good looking game. It's fine.
It's not a good looking game. The game is good looking. The cabinet is not.
Yeah, the cabinet is like one of the worst cabinets of all time.
It's really bad.
They're hard to move, too, how they're not flat on the back.
I've moved a couple of them.
I don't really like that. Yeah.
I remember, I think Champ Sprint, I helped you move into your place.
That one that's is different. Two. That's different. That's a paperboy cab.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's actually flat on the back. It's just really fucking heavy is all.
Well, I know I've done that, and I know you had Marble Madness, too.
Yeah, it sucks.
So, and I guess the only other thing is I've decided to probably sell my Atari Football X's and O's that I'm never going to move it into the basement. It's been in my garage for, like, at least 6 months, so it's not going to go down there. So, there are a couple people interested in it, so I'll let that one go.
Sweet.
And I had a Pengo for, like, a week. But, yeah.
So you don't sell games.
Well, I gave it away.
There you go.
Yeah. I gave that to Jeremy. So, yeah, that's all the game stuff. Oh, yeah, and I got rid of a missile command.
What?
Yeah, I thought you were...
Oh, the other one.
Progress. Project. Yeah, okay. The project one.
And like, the nice cab you saved, right?
The nice cab I saved, and same guy, Ryan, he really wanted the missile command, and he was looking at it, and so I made him a good deal on it.
Maybe like, sell him some games.
Does he want a fucked up Zaxxon cab?
I doubt it.
I want to go down the list of games like a used car lot. Hey, man, I don't know what this
is. So, yeah, I suppose what I'm working on there then is still the Marble Madness, and then next on the line would have to be looking at the Tomahawk missiles.
Yeah. Tomahawk pistols.
Tomahawk missiles. Actually, what should be next on the line is Ian's 13-inch XY monitor that I'm supposed to be fixing for.
That'd be nice. I do want that monitor.
But I only have my battle zone to use for debugging, so I just have to carry it down there and wear a headlamp or something. Yeah, I guess that's my update.
Cool. Well, cool. I wanted to remind everyone that we do post our gameplay videos for each episode on our website and our YouTube channel.
Intermittently.
They're all there.
They're
all the ones that we have recorded are there. So yeah, check it out if you ever want to see us playing the games and talking shit as we play them. So you can voicemail us at
503-766-2263.
And you can email us at coinrejects@gmail.com. And
that's probably the best.
Let's play some games.
All right.
All right.
See you guys.